So I want to start this morning actually with a little pop quiz, pop Bible quiz, actually. Are you ready for this? It doesn't matter. This is where we're going anyway. It's one question. It's just a one question Bible trivia pop quiz. Where can you find these verses? Feed the babies who don't have enough to eat. Shoe the children with no shoes on their feet. House the people living in the streets. We'll give you a moment just to look at those verses, just a little bit longer. Where in the Bible are these verses? This is going to be a multiple choice question about where these verses are found. All right, here we go. Let's go to the possible answers. Are these verses found in, like, which statement completes the, or which word completes the statement properly? These verses are found in A, the book of Psalms, B, the book of Isaiah, C, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, D, the book of James, which is all about living out your faith, right? Or E, is it none of the above? So this is a very safe place. And I'm going to have you raise your hand. We're just going to do this. It's okay. If you're wrong, there's no harm, no foul. I guarantee you other people will be wrong with you. So were those words that we looked at a moment ago, are they verses from the book of Psalms, do you think? Raise your hand on that one. No, no hands going up. Are they in Isaiah? Wow, no hands going up there too. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Okay, a few hands going up there. D, are they in the book of James? It talks about caring for widows and orphans. Really? No more hands on that. Or E, none of the above? Wow, a lot of you going E, none of the above. And then one answer that's not up there, F, you were too shy to raise your hand. Yeah, okay. All right, well, the correct answer is none of the above. None of the above. Congratulations to all of you who got that right, and those of you who didn't, listen closely to the sermon. All right. So these words are from a 1976 song by the Steve Miller Band titled Fly Like an Eagle. 9 of the Steve Miller Band songs made it into the Billboard Top 25. 3 of them hit number 1. Fly Like an Eagle made it to number 2. The band has sold in the range of 60 million albums worldwide. And there's kind of a cool former, I don't think this is true anymore, Northwest connection with them. One of them, I just found out, I think at the start of the service, a guy in our church has actually been to Steve Miller's house when he owned it. I don't know if he still lives there. In Medina. So I didn't know that. What I did know is that he used to own a home in Friday Harbor. Not like in the water, in the harbor, but in the town of Friday Harbor, near the town of Friday Harbor, up on San Juan Island. He owned that home for like 30 years or something like that, I believe. And then he also owned a home in Sun Valley, Idaho. Ketchum, technically, I guess, is the town where he lived. From 1987 to 2018, he owned a home there for 30 years. So he wasn't from the Northwest originally, but spent many decades here in the Northwest. That Sun Valley home means that when I was a ski bum there in the mid-90s, that Steve Miller was my neighbor. That's not to say we lived in the same neighborhood. Believe me, we did not. Totally different socioeconomic things going on there. But kind of neighbors, so that's kind of cool. So let me just read for you the lyrics from the song. It's a fairly short song, lyrically. You can go on the next slide. Time keeps on slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free, right through the revolution. Feed the babies who don't get enough to eat. Shoe the children. Yes, he uses shoe as a verb. Poetic license, I guess, but there you go. Shoe the children with no shoes on their feet. House the people living in the street. Oh, Lord, there's a solution. And that's it. Those are the entire words of the song. And the opening part about time slipping into the future is just kind of an intro kind of thing. The main verses and chorus are the next two stanzas. So that's it. They convey a message that life is short, right? Time is slipping, kind of an interesting way he puts it, into the future. And the way to really soar in life is by helping those who are helpless, babies, or those who are in need, who are down and out, and so forth. So as we've done in each of the last couple of Sundays, and if you're new with us this morning, we don't normally do this kind of thing. It all ties in with Scripture. I'm going to share with you a performance of the song. This is from 2011 in the PBS televised series Austin City Limits musical thing. So this is the closest to country music as we're getting. And so there you go. Enjoy this performance of Fly Like an Eagle. So that's almost a song that we could sing in church. Is that close to Scripture? Probably the one thing I would quibble with is a line that says, "Let my spirit carry me," because the Bible tells us this, the Spirit of God that gives us life and that carries us along, right? It's not our spirit, but the Holy Spirit. But his desire to fly like an eagle actually comes right out of Scripture, though as with all the songs in this series, I'm not saying that that was his intention to communicate a biblical truth. But it is there, and we can be encouraged by it, and it can be, when we're looking for that kind of thing, the opportunity to engage with someone over matters of faith in maybe unexpected places. So listen to these words from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. This is God's word to you and me today. "Why do you complain, Jacob?" Which is like a nickname, if you will, for the nation of Israel. "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. my cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So these words, those words are were written as a reminder to the people of Israel about who God is and what he does for them. And at the time that they were written, the nation of Israel was captive to Babylon. Okay, that's why we get the question about feeling hidden and disregarded by God. They're in a broken place. They're in a state of chaos and turmoil, pain and anguish. And they're asking, where is God in this mess? Has God forgotten us? Has he written us off? Why are we ignored? And perhaps in the midst of our own personal Babylonian experience, we have felt down and out. Maybe you have felt defeated. Sometimes we are our own worst critics, right? And we kind of make our own Babylonian prison that we confine ourselves in. The response that's given to the question is a reminder then that God is with them even in the midst of their suffering, that God has not forgotten them. He has not left them. And then it encourages them to remember that on their own, they will grow faint and weary, right? Even young men, that happens to them. But for those who wait on the Lord, he will renew their strength and they will fly like with wings of eagles. The old way is translated, they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will soar like an eagle. Now, this begs the question, how does God do this? How does God do this in our lives and for us? And there are a number of ways. We've actually talked about a couple of them in the last couple of weeks even. First of all, God strengthens us through his word. The Bible is full of verses that give us encouragement. Not just like individual verses here and there, but even the whole passages, whole chapters of scripture give hope and encouragement and strength to face the day before us. This passage does this right here. Okay? Second of all, so God's word is one place. Second of all, God strengthens us through the fellowship and support of other believers. When we are in the midst of a challenge and we're feeling defeated, down and out, wherever the case may be, there's nothing better perhaps even than another person who loves Jesus as well, who will walk with us through that, who will pray with us, like in the moment. Like just bow their heads with us and put their arm around us and pray. Who will just be with us, listen to us, who will comfort us and help us get through that season of life. So other believers. And then third of all, God strengthens us through prayer. Like when we pray, not just other people praying for us, but we pray ourselves. We say, Lord, I'm at my wit's end. I need help. I'm looking for you. I need to be strengthened. I need to be encouraged. When we pray, we are reminded, actually, that God is there. Like the fact that you pray is a reminder that God is there. And we are convicted in our prayers of our own sin, our own waywardness, maybe our own self-negative talk that's going on. Maybe that's part of the prison that's holding us in. And we're reminded that God loves us, that he never leaves us, never forsakes us, that he keeps working in us and to draw us close to him. Prayer does that. Certainly scripture reading does that. And being encouraged by other believers does that all as well. Some of us this morning simply need to hear that truth that we are loved, to be reminded of that. That God loves you. He has not forsaken you. Whatever the difficult situation that you might be in, whatever that difficulty is, that he loves you, he cares for you, he forgives you. If you're having negative self-talk because of some sin in your life, whatever it might be, you feel like you let God down, God still loves you. He's not turning his back on you. And he invites you simply to follow his son, Jesus. Some of us need to hear that. about that grace, healing, forgiveness, all of that, and be reminded that God seeks to lift us up like on wings of eagles, to soar like an eagle. There's another way that God lifts us and strengthens us as well and makes us soar like on wings of eagles, as that Isaiah passage says. And we're actually reminded it in the verse of the song this morning as well. So Steve sings that he wants to fly like an eagle in the chorus, and then he sings, feed the babies who don't have enough to eat, shoe the children with no shoes on their feet, house the people living on the street. When we reach out to others and aid them in their time of need, their place of brokenness, their place of being down and out, God also, through that, lifts us up like on wings of eagles. Probably many of us have experienced this truth before, where helping others, you genuinely, your desire is to help others. Like, that's the goal. And we want to be careful about this, because we don't want to say, well, if I help others, therefore I will feel better. Like, we don't want to make it about ourselves and have a selfish reason for helping others. But it becomes a byproduct. So a lot of us probably have experienced that, where you've gone to help others, whatever it might be, bring a meal to somebody across the street in their brokenness, going on a short-term mission trip, whatever. And you're doing this, and you realize afterwards that you have been encouraged, you have been strengthened, you have been blessed. A recent article, actually in Psychology Today, speaks to this. It says, we often think of volunteering, for example, as something we do to give back or to fulfill some moral obligation. Yet, when you engage in selfless service, you are not just improving someone else's life. You're rewiring your brain, nurturing your well-being, and rediscovering a sense of purpose. The article goes on to say, engaging in behaviors that help others releases neurotransmitters such as dopamine, I don't know how the word's pronounced. Dopamine, thank you. I should have asked you before the service. Dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin, which are associated with feelings of happiness and reduced stress. That's what helping others does for you. Now, you want to help others for the sake of helping them, but this is how God has made you. Like you say, well, that's Psychology Today. No, this is how God has made you. This is what happens in your brain chemically when you help other people. It rewires your brain, as they put it. These neurotransmitters are released, and it helps you to feel better. It gets you on the right track in life. It mentally can change you. So are you feeling like a wounded eagle, unable to fly? Are you stressed out? Worried about something? It may be what might actually help you is to get away from that for a little bit and help somebody else. Help somebody else who is in need. And you might realize your problems aren't as big as you thought they were. So help a baby. Young adults trying to find their way forward in life. Kids in need, the homeless, single moms, whoever it might be. It will lift you up like on wings of eagles, even as you seek to do that for them. Now, it's nice of the Steve Miller Band to put this into a catchy song, to make this connection between helping others and flying like an eagle. It's nice of Psychology Today to help get into kind of the biological or neurological stuff that goes on when we help people. That's great. Jesus talks about this as well, though. In Matthew 25, 34 to 40, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God. He tells a parable about it, about those who are invited in into the kingdom, and uses a parable. It's a made-up story about a king and his kingdom. And here's what Jesus says. He says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. And then Jesus follows that right after that. He continues on. He says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you. And you think about in the context of the story, this is a king who said this. And it's like, kings don't have these needs, and we're just paupers out here. We're just working in the fields. Like, we've never even interacted with you. And so that's kind of what would be going through the heads of somebody hearing the story. And Jesus continues, and he says, the king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And I think brothers and sisters there is interpreted as just like this human level, like sharing in human, being human. And then Jesus goes on to teach that the ones who do this are lifted up to eternal life. He kind of gets out of the story. He says, this is what happens. The result is they are lifted up to eternal life. They are lifted up on eagle's wings, in the words of Isaiah 40, in the heavenly kingdom. Why? Well, because of how they lived out their Christ-like faith. It's faith, okay? This isn't a works righteousness thing. You can't read the New Testament and come away with that kind of thinking. You still trust Jesus, but it's then how you respond to his grace and what he's done and how you live that out. And he says here, it's about feeding, clothing, and generally caring for people in need. This is demonstrating our personal discipleship to Jesus. And it blesses Jesus when we do it. It blesses the king in the parable when people took care of those who were in need. And so we see that when we allow ourselves to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in a world that desperately needs his care and loving touch, we experience what it is to fly like an eagle. We can live out these words from Isaiah and be lifted up like on eagle's wings to soar with the eagles. And we can experience that not only in the eternal kingdom of God, that might be kind of what we think of, but even right here and now as well, when we help to carry out God's will on earth as it is done in heaven. God will strengthen us and lift us up as we share this love with others, as we reach out in the name of Jesus in these kind of tangible and needed ways. And many of you are aware that, you know, our church has a number of things we do collectively as a church. There's things many of you do individually on your own as well. But collectively as a church, there's a handful of things that we do. One of them is every Thanksgiving, we collect financial resources to purchase gift cards for families in need in our community. And specifically, we partner with families at Rose Hill Elementary School. We work with the counselors up there and get those cards distributed to kids that they know are in homes where there's a great need for that kind of support. And after this last Thanksgiving, and maybe it's happened before, but after this last one, some of the thank yous from those families made their way to us. They were sent to, I think, to Sandy Adair, who's overseeing our deacon board right now, and she passed these along to me. So I want to share with you a few of them. Here's what one person writes. I would like to extend our sincere gratitude to the Rose Hill Church for their kind support and assistance, especially at this Thanksgiving period. It will help us a lot for this holiday season. God bless you and everyone who has contributed to making this happen for us. Okay? If you help to contribute to that, that's a word of thank you to you. Thank you so much for your support and attention. I'm very happy to hear it. God bless you. Thank you. Praying emoji hands. Really grateful. I wanted to thank you for this gesture, since for me and my family, it is a great help. We are very grateful for taking into account my son. Many blessings. And then a fifth and final one. Hello, I wanted to thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for the support you have given me, my children, and thank you for the help you have given me. May God bless you. Thank you very much. So I don't know about you, but I read these and I'm like, I'm blessed. I'm like, that is so cool that our church had that kind of an impact. And it encourages me, even as we were seeking simply to encourage them. We may not always hear those kinds of thank yous, of course. There's a lot of times we do ministry and bless people and the opportunity just may not be there, or people don't go out of their way to take the initiative like these folks did. You know, with the laptop backpacks that we're collecting right now, you know, if you want to help people who are on the down and out side of life, this is a great opportunity. We may not get thank yous from those foster kids. That's okay. We may not get thank yous from the foster parents. That's okay. Jesus' response is enough. Because what we do for the least of these blesses him. And that lifts us up like on wings of eagles, knowing that we have blessed a bunch of families in the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't just teach for head knowledge, like theoretical knowledge. I know calculus is more concrete. It's not theoretical. I guess there's a level of theoretical math. I don't know. It's way beyond me. Like calculus and trigonometry and that stuff, algebra 3-4 was beyond me in high school. That was all just head knowledge. I haven't used it since then, except for trying to help my kids, and I'm useless. I know. My daughter's looking at me like, you never helped me. I know. Because I couldn't. So we should be grateful that following Jesus is not calculus in that head knowledge sense or in the difficulty sense. We should all, that deserves a bit of an amen, right? I mean, amen, yes, it is not like calculus. Jesus teaches us so that our knowledge, it is a head thing, it starts there as part of it, but it's to lead to action so that we would live like him in our discipleship to him. That's actually what it means to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus. It means to live as he did. That's probably about the simplest definition of discipleship I can think of. It means to walk as he walked, is how we oftentimes see it laid out in Scripture. That means to live. It's a metaphor for living as Jesus lived. And so to do that, it means the message has to get from our heads down into our hearts, where we can have compassion and mercy and love people as Jesus did, as he still does, but as he walked the face of the earth, and we read about him in the Gospels. Jesus' sense of compassion and care and mercy was one of the things that brought people to him. Like, people sought him out for compassion, for mercy, for healing. And we're called to be Christ-like in that regard. We may not be perfect at it. For sure, we're not. But we don't give up on it when we fall short. And when we do fall short, the good news also is, and we all need to hear this today, Jesus doesn't give up on us. Just because we fall short of living a Christ-like life, Jesus does not give up on us. We are still invited to keep following him. Jesus invites you to keep following him, to live like him, to put into practice his teachings and the ways of Jesus. And some of those definitely are feeding, clothing, caring for, visiting, and helping those in need. It's what Jesus did. It's what we're called to do. Jesus did it all the way to the cross, right? I mean, his service goes all the way to the point of giving his life, where the depth of his care and his love is demonstrated most fully. So to keep us on the path of following him, to keep walking down in the footsteps of Jesus as best as we're able, to soar like on wings of eagles, we want to read the Bible, we want to be in worship and fellowship with others through the church, right? We want to be engaged with other Christians. We want to get on our knees and pray, as we talked about last week a little bit. But maybe, the Steve Miller Band has something that might encourage us as well. Feed the babies who don't have enough to eat. Shoe the children with no shoes on their feet. House the people living in the street. You will bless others. You will bless Jesus. And you will be blessed as well. We do it all. And again, it's not for our glory. It's not for our glory. We do it all for the glory of God the Father, through Jesus the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through each of us. Heavenly Father, thank you for that gift, for that opportunity to live as Jesus lived. We thank you that he came and he showed the way, he modeled for us what it means to be in relationship with you. To love others, to extend forgiveness, to have grace and mercy, the healing that he did, all of it, Lord, thank you for that. And then, Lord, this opportunity to follow, the invitation Come, follow me, Jesus says. Thank you, God, that we have heard that. We acknowledge that sometimes we wander off the path. We don't follow well always, but Lord, thank you for your forgiveness and keeping us on that path. Bring us back onto it. Lord, help us to live more and more like Jesus in our lives. Help us, God, to love people, to have compassion, mercy, and care for them in the same way that Jesus did, in a way that touches and transforms lives. We pray all of this in the life-giving name of Jesus, the one who lifts us up like on wings of eagles, and all of God's children said together, amen.